Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
It is time to begin our next session. I'm delighted to introduce Brother Barry, a friend of mine for 40-some-odd years. The greatest thing about Barry is that he's a genuine Christian. The next greatest thing is he's married to a great, great woman. She is as good a missionary as he is, maybe even better. She has been very ill. She is still very ill, but doing better. Melanie's parents, brother and sister Eads, were great, great people. They both died last year, and we miss them very, very much. They were kind to me. They were kind to the Lord's work, and thank God for them, and thank God for the daughter they raised. As I've already said, Brother Barry went into Jamaica with me in 1981, and then the elders took him away from me and got him to doing his own campaigns, which was par for the course. I trained more campaign leaders than I did campaigners. And then I started missing Barry. What happened to Barry? I really didn't know. But I learned several years later he lived in a place called Jakarta, Indonesia. He and Melanie were there with their two boys. They knew the language. They had learned the language. They were establishing the Lord's church and established a school in southern Sumatra to train gospel preachers. And what has happened from that school is phenomenal. I will not interfere with Barry's speech to say any more. I'll just say, Barry Hatcher from Wetumpka, Alabama. Thank you, Brother Barry.
Thank you, James. I certainly am glad that you introduced me and not my grandson, because I don't know what he would have said. He would have been capable. Don't know. Thank you so much for keeping my wife in your prayers. She has a rare form of asthma that came on her about September. She's been coughing since September. And a few weeks ago, she coughed so hard she couldn't breathe, and that lasted in the hospital for 10 days. She's pulled muscles, broken ribs from the coughing. So please keep her. She's absolutely miserable, so please keep her in your prayers. The doctors say it's not dangerous. It's just very uncomfortable and miserable. I want to thank the elders for allowing me to come and present this work to you. I was here a year and a half ago, I guess, and met with the elders and the deacons and made a presentation of Indonesia. And you have supported the work. You were supporting the work on a monthly basis prior to that happening, because I went to Indonesia for a year. Well, it was last year, and I got there the 1st of March, and then COVID hit, so I couldn't come home. My plan was to come home every 3 months because Melanie was taking care of her parents, but I didn't get to come home for 11 months. But I made it, and I'm back, and we were able to accomplish what we needed to accomplish, and you have participated in helping with that. Indonesia is located north of Australia. It is a country of 17,000 islands. It is the largest Muslim country by population in the world. But the nice thing about it is, in this sense, it is a democracy and not under Sharia law, except for one province that has been allowed to go autonomous, and they immediately went under Sharia law because they had been fighting for 30 years in rebellion to the government because they wanted to be under Sharia law. There are places in Indonesia that are very radical Muslims. And where you find that in Indonesia, we don't find the Lord's Church. We find some other denominations, you find denominations rather, and some Catholicism, but you don't find the Lord's Church. Indonesia is the fourth largest nation in the world. You have China with more than a billion, India with more than a billion, the United States with what, 340 million now, and then Indonesia with 280 million people. The island of Java, which is located right here. This island is a little bit smaller than the state of Alabama. It is one of the most densely populated places in the world. Alabama has what, 3 million, 4 million people? This island, which is a little smaller than Alabama, has 120 million people living on that island. That's about a little over 3,000 people per square mile. It is very densely populated. One of the culture shocks you have when you go to Indonesia is you're never alone. You can't go anywhere because you're never alone except in your own home. And so it's very interesting there. I'd like to say a few words before I move through any further with these pictures. And I have a lot of pictures, and some of them will go very, very quickly. But I want to tell you a story. James was able to give you a little bit of a preview in the sense that we became interested in foreign work even greater because of the work that we were able to do, beginning with James and then the foreign mission work in Jamaica on a yearly basis. But we learned some things, just like we should do in any kind of experience. We learned some things that we didn't want to do in Indonesia when we finally got to Indonesia some years later. One of the things that we learned we didn't want to do is we didn't want to support preachers after they graduated from preacher training school. We saw that in Jamaica, a man could go to the Jamaica School of Preaching, and it isn't long after he graduates, or maybe before he graduates, that brethren in the United States put them on support. And we discovered that in working with preachers, there were a handful of men that were are great men there. They do a great job and worthy of support. We're not totally against support. But many of them do not work like they need to work. Then coupled with that, on top of that, we have those who in Africa and India and in other places where brethren have supported the work, and we hear these reports that they didn't do the work that they were supported to do. And as a result, we decided that we wanted to start a preacher training school because we wanted to work with many congregations, not with just one. And we wanted them to do the work for themselves. We wanted them to learn to do it for themselves and pay for it for themselves. Now, this was a little slow at first. And after about 10 years or 12 years, we began to see things pick up. As men went out after graduation from the school, found them jobs. Usually they went back to their villages, went back to their home and family, and went back into the rice fields in Indonesia, and they began to do the work and preach the gospel there. And so what I'm about to show you, please realize, we're not totally against it, and we have supported 12 men, by the way, in places in Indonesia where they were not gravitating to after graduation on their own. But 10 of these 12 men, all 12 of them, we chose, not newly out of school, but had been in the mission field in Indonesia, working on their own, doing things for themselves and preaching the gospel for 8 to 10 years, and we chose 12 of them, sent them in by two families each. Husbands and wives were graduates of the school. We have women in the school. Some of them marry the men. We're grateful for that, especially in this kind of environment. And put them in 6 cities in Indonesia, and within 8 to 10 years, 10 of them were off support. They either were being supported by the congregation they started, or they found good jobs there because they had the opportunity to do so, and said, "Brother Barry, tell the elders, our sponsoring congregation, we don't need the support anymore. We found a job. We're going to preach the gospel, and we're going to work ourselves." I don't know where that happens anywhere else. And it's interesting that they did that. Well, this slide shows that when we arrived in 1987, my wife and 3 children, that we had, the church was 30 years old, started in 1957, and this is a placement of where the congregations were at that time. The school is located where these 4 little small congregation villages, we're in the Lampung province, here, and the southern tip of Sumatra. This province up here, there's 7 provinces on this island. It is the 7th largest island in the world. And there are 7 provinces, and the northernmost province of Sumatra went under Sharia law in 2005 when the government lost their mind and gave them autonomy. All they have to do is pay tribute once a year, and they can do what they want to do. And so the churches, the religious groups there that are not Muslim, have been allowed to stay there, but they closed everything down. There were schools there, religious schools. They closed them down, and that's the way they are. But the churches, they have to, those churches that exist up there, not churches, the Lord's church, but they have to pay tribute in order to stay up there. And that's the sad thing about that. We have, of course, as you can see, congregations everywhere. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes that, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." And certainly this is something that we wanted to instill in our students in the school. We did not want them, and I'm a graduate of Memphis School of Preaching, but I remember my days in receiving evangelism training. And we wanted to do more. And our curriculum is patterned after the Memphis School of Preaching, because I'm a graduate of the school. But when it came to evangelism, we wanted to do something different. We wanted to spend every quarter, every week, every month with students thinking, not only studying the Bible and getting a Bible education. It's a 3-year school, started as a 2-year school, but it's now a 3-year school. And we wanted them constantly thinking about evangelism, because that is going to be the purpose for which we exist, other than to save our own soul and then to save the soul and seek to save the souls of others through proclamation of the gospel through God's grace and mercy. So we began, we felt like that the students have to have a good dose of that. And so we believe we must teach them constantly. Get out there, have prospects, teach them the gospel, so that you can get that training while you're here for 3 years, so that you can take it into the foreign field, into your mission field. And usually they go home with that situation. Brother Alex Daniel is the director of the school. I was the director of the first 2 years. The school is now in its 32nd year. And I mentored Brother Alex, and he is a graduate of Four Seas College in Singapore. The other two men are graduates of our school. This is Alex's wife, and she's a teacher in the school. She's a graduate of the school. And the other two men are graduates of our school, and then they studied English and went over on to Singapore and took a 3rd-year curriculum and then came back and have been working with us in the school as full-time instructors in the school. And we have part-time instructors as well. Indonesia speaks 300 different languages, 750 dialects. But in 1946, when Indonesia won its independence, they took one of those languages and made it the national language. That's the one we speak, and the 95% of the country speaks this language called Bahasa Indonesia. And so we teach in the school from the very first day. The school opened January the 2nd, 1989. We moved there in 87, studied the language, worked and found good men we want to teach in the school, and then we began the school in January the 2nd, 1989, and began with them in the language, not having to learn English, which would not be their first language. So this has been a big help. Brother Alex, the teaching in the classroom. And this is our old building. You're going to see pictures of our new building and the circumstances in a few moments. Rita, we have ladies, and they come, even from past graduates, if they're living there in the city, they'll come to ladies' classes, and they have special ladies' classes during the day. When the men have certain classes, such as preacher design and delivery, the ladies learn things, so how to teach ladies, how to teach children, how to make visual aids, because we want the ladies to go to their congregations and teach women and teach the children and teach the women to teach the children, and so many things. We don't want to just teach them to do things. We want to train them not only to do things, but to train others to do things as well. And that's so important in this work. On Fridays, chapel is every afternoon. They have a devotional in the morning. And on Fridays, the ladies have their own chapel. That way the ladies can learn to speak to the ladies and to do things. As a result, ladies have their own seminars. And they don't need American sisters to come over and have a seminar. They can teach their old ladies seminars. And that's what we want them to do. We want them to do things for themselves and constantly do the things for themselves and want to do them that way. And so this is a seminar a few years ago, and they have, my wife initiated a retreat, and it was the first retreat. This was in 2015. We haven't had one since. We haven't had a chance to get back, or she hasn't had a chance to get back to Indonesia because we moved home in 2005 until last year when I moved there in order for this project, which you'll learn about in a few minutes. But you see many ladies here. Only four or five of them, we were commenting, only four or five of these sisters were members of the church 30 years ago by the work of these brethren. We also offer distant learning by where our graduates are working in congregations. And some of our graduates work in congregations, and might be two or three of them men have come from the congregation to the school, and they go back to that community in order to find jobs and preach. So we might have two or three graduates in one congregation, in a number of the congregations where they exist. And this congregation in Manado, where we moved the school to, they have an extension of the school, and there's a special curriculum that our brethren can attend and take. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, we believe this passage where the Apostle Paul says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It isn't enough for them to go to school and learn something. They need to come to school and learn and be trained how to teach it to others and for it to continue on. And so that's what we want them to do. This is the present student body. Our budget will hold can handle approximately 16 students. I think there's 13 there. And by the way, the Indonesians look very young. But the youngest one here is 21, and the oldest one here is 35. But they look very young. Matter of fact, I think James says, "Wait a minute, this is a preacher training school. What are these teenagers doing here?" It's hard to tell their age, but they are very young. They're not that young in their work, and we're grateful for that. By the way, Indonesia starts on the eastern border, Papua New Guinea. Half of it belongs to Indonesia, the western half. You draw a line right down the middle of that large island, and that's the eastern border of Indonesia. And Brother Fred here, And Brother Fred here is from New Guinea. He's from the Indonesian side of New Guinea. He's Papua. And we are grateful for a number of students, not very many, have come from Papua, and they've gone home into congregations there, and I don't want to say too much just yet. But some of these ladies already found some beaus here, and usually after graduation, after 3 years, then they get married, and we're thankful for that. And so we have a lot of research. We ask the students to do a lot of research. Even starting in the third quarter of the first year, students start doing research. We want them to do research. We have four quarters of the 3 years, starting in the last half of the first year to the first half of the second year, we teach them English. And they do not learn to speak it, but they learn to read it and write it. And they especially learn to read it. And this is very important because everyone now has these little handheld computers. You know, once in a while you talk on it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Indonesia, they have, and many third world countries, and Indonesia is a third world country, but many third world countries, the businesses there have figured out, phone businesses, have figured out how to put this in the hand of everyone. And as far as expenses, that's all prepaid. They don't trust anybody with credit over there. Indonesia in the past has been a very corrupt country, and so, but now more and more credit, but still, phones are prepaid. But they can get on the phone in the classroom, And the instructors can say, okay, go to this website in the second year, in the third year, and they can go and do research. We want them being able to research. We want them to research a lot, because when they go back out to the village and they know English, they can read English and understand it without having to be married to a dictionary all the time, they will do that. And their lessons and their sermons will have background and have research and resource information in it from good websites such as Apologetics Press and Christian Courier and other good websites where they can study topics that will give them more information and help the local brethren to grow and to mature. Instead of just simply going and reading some verses and commenting on a verse and making it much better for the population of our brethren in the work. And so that's what they're doing. They're researching. This is our library, and you'll see it again later. And this is in our old building. And we have about 3,000 books in English. Over the years, we've been able to get books from here. And that's been important because starting in 1989, when we started the school, I went to the staff and I said, because they speak English, I said, we must begin to translate. The church was only 32 years old at that time. There were not very many things that had been translated. Brother J.C. Choate had done some work there, and some other missionaries in the early goings did some work in translation, but there weren't very many books. We need to translate books, prioritize books that we need in the classroom. We need to translate books that will help also from the classroom and out in the congregations. There were some congregations, and still are, where there are no preachers, and they can take a book and read it. They can read J.C.'s book, Choate's book, as a sermon, and they'll do that. And so we needed that. And so beginning in 1989, we began to translate books. And so these are pictures of some of the books that have been translated. And we've translated more books, and they've translated. And so this staff who is taking the gospel and teaching the young people in the classroom are also translating. And they're doing translation work. And we have now a couple of brethren part-time who also translate, and they're doing a great job with that. You see some pamphlets here. Well, sometimes a staff member might have a book, Behold the Pattern, or whatever it might be, and he only needs a couple of chapters. Well, they'll translate the chapters and give it as a handout. And what happens is, by the time the student finishes 3 years of school, he's got a religious library. We translate these books. We do not sell them. We translate them, and we give them out to the brethren free of charge. And we're grateful because brethren help us specifically with donations from time to time, individuals, congregations, just for printing. And that's been great. It's been helpful. Congregations in Indonesia have done that. By the way, we have 11 congregations now that support their preacher fully. We have two congregations who support two preachers. We have three congregations who have now put missionaries in Indonesia from our graduates, because they believe they have to do this work for themselves. It's interesting because we haven't built any... Well, we have helped build two buildings out of the congregations that exist where our graduates work. But brethren know that if you ask Brother Barry for money, you have to... First thing out of your mouth is, this is what we will do or can do. And then we help if we can. But we've helped build two church buildings among the congregations you're about to see in a few moments. So these are some more of the material. Brother Paul Sane gave us permission to translate his Bible class material, and here's some of it right here. It's a three-year curriculum, I think about the fifth grade up through adult. We also, the staff produces a quarterly. They got the idea from the Spiritual Sword. And so the quarterlies are here, and these are specifically designed so that adult classes and congregations can use it for adult Bible classes, and they'll go into the Spiritual Sword. I took all these Spiritual Swords when I first moved over there, about 30 years of them, but now you can get them online. But they'll go and they'll translate articles. They'll go to a Christian Courier. They'll go to Apologetics Press, translate articles, put them in a quarterly, and they send that out. And so They're doing that. Sometimes our students, third year students, will write articles, and they're good enough. They put them in. They put them in track form, and so they have tracks. Brethren, you're not paying for that. They pay for that. They give out a tract, and the person can go and photocopy it. The congregation can photocopy it. They pay for that. We want them to continue to do that as they move forward. Excuse me. In Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as I've mentioned, we want to highlight our students evangelize. But not only you. You go to wherever you wind up, and you teach them to evangelize. The Great Commission, and James read it twice, Matthew chapter 28, 19, is not a suggestion to me. It's not a suggestion to you as an individual. It is a command. Brethren, I ask this question to myself. How many commands can I not obey and go to heaven? We want our students to understand that. We want them to stand in the pulpits and in classrooms and say, brethren, you must evangelize too. And then we give them the tools to teach them how to do that. And so it's so important. And I'm grateful for the theme today of taking the gospel into all the world. This is a map you've already seen. And here's the results of 30 years of the school. Our students, our graduates, are in 67 congregations. 30 of them were their families or relatives went back into the village after studying the gospel, finding the gospel, finding the church in a large city where they went to find jobs, and they maybe found a wife and they married. And then after a while, they go back to the village and start a family congregation. And when their children got old enough, they sent them to the school. And so our graduates went back into these 30 congregations. Well, 37 of these congregations have been established since 2001. As they go, and of course, 6 of them we supported to do that. But brethren, the rest of them we did not. The church in America did not do any of that. They've done all this on their own. If the school folds tomorrow, only 2 men who receive partial support still, only 2 men might have a little difficulty. We could handle that. But the rest of these congregations, would have no effect upon them at all. None. Because they do everything for themselves. And we're thankful to them. And we're grateful, and we hope that this glorifies God, because that's our work. To take the gospel to the lost, and they can do it better as native citizens of that country than anyone else can do. And we want them to do that. I've got, what, another hour? We also have a youth preacher training camp. Of course, last year we didn't have anything. This year we won't have it either. But 2019 was the last one, and it was, I think, the 8th annual youth preacher training camp. We have boys, we have girls, because we want the girls to study how to teach children, make lesson plans. And so this was in 2019, and this is in the old building. And the boys, they study a curriculum. The girls study a curriculum for a week from Sunday to Sunday. Then the boys who are members of the church will, 13 to 20-year-olds, they will take over the services for that Sunday, and they'll preach, and 4 or 5 of them will preach the lesson that they've worked up through the sermon design and delivery during that week. The girls will learn how to make visual aids, and they have to set up their own lesson plan. And then on Saturdays, the boys do their preaching to everybody. The girls also have children they can, and ladies, where they'll present their lesson plans. So they get training. They participate in that. We've tried to do things with them one time and then let them do it after that. I remember when we first moved to Indonesia, I didn't realize this at the time. We had a philosophy in mind, but a brother asked me to come over to Bandung and come down to Bandung and hold a gospel meeting. Well, I went down to Bandung, held a gospel meeting for about 4 days, and there were people come in from all over, you know, those 30 congregations, a few of them from the 30 congregations you saw earlier. And at the end of it, the preacher handed me a bill. And I had to pay for the food, the lodging, everything. So I went home and I said, well, we're going to change that. So it wasn't but a quarter, maybe a month, 3 months later, he said, Brother Barry, why don't you come back down and preach again for us? I said, okay, but you take up 50% of it. I did it up front, see. We have the men who come through the school know that I will go to bat for them and help raise money individually for them to purchase a motorcycle. Because a motorcycle is a workhorse. They put 4, 5, 6 people on a motorcycle, it becomes their van. If somebody needs to come. And I won't be able to show pictures of that, but I have pictures of that. And it's a workhorse. They go teaching somewhere, they don't have to take public transportation because it ends at 9 o'clock at night, but they're still teaching, they have to walk home or spend the night. It's a workhorse. Cost about $1,700. They're scooters. We call them scooters here. The largest motorcycle allowed on the streets in Indonesia is 145cc, and which is not very large. But they're workhorses. Brethren, we have graduated 105 men in the past 32 years, and only 9 of them have asked me to help them with money. They do things for themselves, and we're so grateful for that. And so they'll go home and do things, and they'll say, Mama, this is what I learned, and teach their parents. Now, the next 16 slides, I'm going to rapid fire, but I want you to realize that only one of these congregations that you see in this 16 of the 67, just be thankful I don't have all 67 pictures. They were started by, only one of them was started by the among the 12. And 2 of them support their preacher fully. And some of them have buildings, some of them have houses they rent. Some of them, this is in a hotel conference room. They rent a hotel conference room. We don't pay for that. They do. This is in Bali, and if there's a baby around, my wife will be holding. By the way, that's Reese. And when he and his brother went to Bali, because of Lazda leaders and they speak their speeches, they spoke at the Bible classes. Brooks was a Christian at the time, and he presented his lesson the first 10 minutes through translation. The Indonesian said, kept asking my son, how in the world do you get 12 and 14-year-olds to preach? He says, you don't start when they're 12 or 14. That's exactly right. And they were amazed. And so we were proud of them for that. And I'm glad that my son, that Reese could come with me today. This congregation was started in December. It's in our new building. This is the new auditorium. And when the school and staff moved, we decided we would start because the area is so ripe for the pickings, so to speak, that we decided we would just start a new congregation and using the school building. And we're thankful for it. Now, let me talk about the old building and the new building. The reason we had to move, we felt we had to move. In 2018, brethren came to me and said, Brother Barry, we've got to leave Lampung, southern Sumatra. We've got to get out of here, and the best place to go is to Manado, North Sulawesi. Southern Sumatra, the school is 7 degrees south of the equator, and we moved 2,200 miles, 1 degree north of the equator, directly under the Philippines. And still in Indonesia, because Indonesia runs from the middle of Papua New Guinea all the way to the islands outside of Sumatra, 3,500 miles along the equator. The northernmost province of Sumatra went under Sharia law because they were given autonomy. Now, other provinces in that island want to go autonomous so they can go under Sharia law. And Lampung, where we were, had already started causing problems. Our students, when they go out to try to talk to people, they were mobbed, knives were pulled, they were threatened. Still tried to do it, but things was not going well, and we want them to get as much experience in evangelism, just as much as they would get in study of the Bible in the classroom. And so we felt like we had to move. The brethren were saying, move the school. We don't want to lose the school if they should become autonomous. And so this is just, in 2019, I went on the road and more than 100 congregations and individuals contributed $500,000 for me to go and live in Indonesia and build these buildings. And that's where I've been in 2020. I spent 2020 in Indonesia. This is my third time to live in Indonesia, by the way. So it's home. But there are so many things that this northern province went under Sharia law, and I'm trying to really cut this down. Lampung has started passing prohibitive laws. You couldn't have a church building within a certain kilometer of a mosque. Well, there's a mosque on every corner. And so they were, one of the provinces on the island had already accepted another one of the Sharia law, and they said any woman in that province, whether you're a tourist or whether you're a native of that province, if you go outside of your home or you go outside of the hotel, you had to have a burqa. Was that the bell? Good, good. If you hear the bell, just ignore it. And so even tourists, so they don't care about tourism, they don't care about anything. They just care about what they want to do. And so we couldn't put up a sign to hang a sign of the church. Warning signs in the newspapers were telling Protestants that if you're living in a Muslim area, then or if you wanted to buy a house and it was a Muslim area, you couldn't do it. Stop that. And so it was becoming very, very difficult, and students were mobbed and so forth and so on. This was not a good environment for us to train. So we decided we had to do this. So I hit the road because I'm the chief cook and bottle washer when it comes to raising funds. And so thanks to you, the elders here, individual brethren, you had been supporting the work a few hundred dollars a month toward our general funds, but you helped us in a big way, as many other congregations did. And we're thankful to God. He blessed us so that I could go to Indonesia and do this project and build these buildings. Now, I had to be there to build these buildings so that they'd be right for the next 100 years. And I don't have time to go into all of that. But we decided to move to Manado because it's the only province other than Bali. Bali is Hindu, but Manado is predominantly Protestant. And there are 90% of it or 70% of it is Protestant, I should say. And so we hit the ground running. It has the highest education index in the country. And this has been helpful to us as well. We've had absolutely no problems getting the certificates, getting the permissions from the government, which you have to do, even though it's a democracy. They're not free in a lot of ways, as we are. And so we've had no problems with that. And so we have seen so many good things happen since our staff and students arrived there December the 20th, just this past December. And we started the work there. In January, before I left, I started Fishers of Men, and I'm a full-time instructor with Fishers of Men, though I took the year off. But Fishers of Men is a three-month course, an 11-week course in evangelism. And it is training. It isn't just a Sunday morning Bible class. And our students take it every year for the 3 years they're in school. Sometimes they take it twice. And while they're taking it, It generates them out in the communities. And I started one in January the 8th, and then the staff continued the classes after I left to come home. When I saw that the work was done and I could come home, and when they finished the class, the course in 11 weeks, they had 22 people in Bible studies. Now, the preacher training school and the staff had 22 people. I've asked some graduates of other preacher training schools here in the States, when was the last time you heard that the students of the preacher training school you went to had 20 people in Bible studies? Never. I remember when my Memphis school preaching days, we just didn't get that kind of training. And so I took Fishers of Men to Indonesia in 1997, and by 2001 we started seeing congregations established because of the ability that they have. Now our students take it three times, so they learn to teach it as well. And so they use this training course of 11 weeks to raise the army. You know, this is a family. This is a congregation. We have congregations everywhere. Brethren, we're also soldiers. We're an army. We're to go out and destroy the devil if we can in the hearts and the lives of people. And that's what we want to teach them to do. And that's why I believe that we have 67 congregations where our graduates are. Some of them, there are two or three in that congregation. But they're preaching the gospel and they're teaching other members of the congregation to teach the gospel too. To fulfill the command of Matthew 28, verse 19, and Mark 16, and verse 15. This is just some of the things that you would see in Manado. You would not see in Lampung, where we left, because it is predominantly Muslim. Everywhere you go, you see these denominational church buildings. And everything you can imagine that's in the States is up there. And so they're ripe for the picking. We are going to do our best to get in there. This was a few days after Easter, and they had put up this. Of course, this was in 2019, not 2020. And this road right here, and our property is just off to the left, about five houses down here. So it shows you that our neighborhood is predominantly Protestant, and that's where these prospects are that they're studying with right now. This is a mural on the side of the road. Wouldn't be allowed to do that in Lampung. And as you can see, this is just, they hadn't taken them down from Easter. And this statue is about three stories tall that there is there in Manado. And so we moved from southern Sumatra, 7 degrees south of the equator, to 1 degree north of the equator to Manado. The Philippines is right up here. And we are very happy because we can see that we'll have a future there. We can see that we can really train the students. We can see that we can really help the Lord's work in Indonesia by helping them to help themselves. And, of course, we're having to fund the school, but one congregation supports the school $500 a year. And they support it more when Alex, the director, asks for something, some issue that comes up, and they'll give a one-time contribution. In 2014, I don't know if I told this story to the elders, but in 2014, in Manado, there was a 100-year flood. And two congregations there, one of the congregations, one of our graduates, lost his house. Another of our graduates, his house was damaged because there were two of them working in the congregation at Palimpot. And several of the members had damage to their homes, and they had to leave their homes, and they all congregated into the church building that these brethren had built. We had nothing to do with it. And they were living there. And so Alex Daniel, 2,000 miles away, wrote me at that time, 2014, and said, "Barry," and he sent me pictures of the flood. He said, "These brethren lost their house. They have help." So I put out a newsletter and asked for help. And in 5 days, we had $7,000 from all the brethren who know about the work and who have been supporting the work. I didn't hear from them. I didn't hear from Alex, the director of the school, for a month, sitting on this money. And finally, I said, Alex, what in the world's going on? We have $7,000. You know we have $7,000. They know we have $7,000. Why haven't they called for it? And he said, I don't know. I'll call Carlos and see if I can find out. Carlos wrote me an email and said, tell the elders and the churches in Indonesia, in America, we don't need the money, because the churches all over Indonesia supported it enough. We're building his house. We're refurbishing the houses that were destroyed. We're taking care of it. Brethren, I don't know what you understand about mission work, but in a lot of places, they would have said, yeah, send the money. But they're honest as well, and I appreciate them so much for the things that they did. So we're hoping that this side of the country, as we get potential students coming to the school, this side of the country will start looking like this side of the country. And we already have applications for first-year students over here. The distance is not a problem. And by the way, we do not... that's not a bell, James. That's not a bell. James is doing that. We already have applications for July for starting the school from over here, and these graduates push potential students to us, and we're thankful for that and that work. This is the wall after we bought the property in Manado. This is now the school building. It's a two-story building, and we also have this is the school name. This is the church name, because the church meets up here in the new building. And this is the other side of the building. This is the girls' dormitory. And the girls' dormitory and the boys' dormitory are mirror buildings of each other. And there's an apartment on one end and the girls' and the dormitory on the other end. This is the large auditorium. It's about 2,500 square feet. And it's much larger than the one you saw earlier. And this is the congregation. The first Sunday that we met there in the school. This is the library. Every morning, there's a devotional with all the students and the staff. And here's the classroom. Now, that's the first or second bell. Okay, good. I'm about through. And we have desks instead of those little chairs with an arm now. And this is the third-year students in their class. And James, there's Fred. James really likes Fred. And he's from Papua. And this sister teaches English. She is an English teacher. And she's what we call a part-time teacher. We have her teaching the English for all the students. And does a great job with that. She was living there. And so this one of the staff was teaching it. And when we found out she was there, she's also a member of the congregation. This is our dining hall now. We've got a nice dining hall. And everybody seems to gravitate there from time to time. The kitchen and our cooks, who are also graduates of the school, and they cook breakfast and lunch also enough for dinner. And then weekends, the boys' dormitory and girls' dormitory have a kitchen, so they cook their own. So they do their own cooking on the weekends. Now, this is the boys' dormitory. This is the apartment side, and one of our staff and his family lives there. And then the boys live on this side, and they live in barrack style type of arrangement in that side. A very large, their room in Lampung in Sumatra was not that big. And this is the girls, but now girls are different. So we have four bedrooms, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and a large room there for them in their building. James has come over a number of years and teaching in the school, and the staff and students all appreciate him. This is in the old building, and he hasn't been able to come because of COVID to the new one yet. And this congregation was established by two of our graduates on their own. We were not supporting them. They were not of those who we supported. And James teaches in the school in the mornings, holds gospel meetings at night. And he communicates very well. We're in Bali here. And one of the things about James is everywhere, is in Jamaica, anywhere he goes, he tries to blend in. He does his best to blend in. And if native dress, it means nothing to him, he'll do it if that's what helps to communicate. So And as a result, because he's taught Hebrews, he's taught on the kings, he's taught on the sacerdotal duties of the priesthood, and because of well, you know how James teaches, the way he teaches, he communicates well and in depth, and the staff and students are grateful to him over the years, and so the staff decided unanimously to do this. So the auditorium is called the James B. Andrews Auditorium, and we're grateful to him for what he's done in the things he's done. But brethren, there's still a lot of work to do. There are more than 40 cities in Indonesia, million people in population, with no congregations. So our hope is we can keep churning out preachers. When they're at the school, we support them. When they leave, get out there, find you a job, go to work. And incidentally, because of we also teach them computer after class, and as a result of the 3-year curriculum, many of our students who go graduates who go into the villages, the 3-year curriculum, they can teach elementary school. So that gives them a job too. And the computer skills, we've got several 5 or 6 men who are in IT businesses, and they're able to have good jobs that way. So that helped. Thank you so much. And may our efforts glorify God in everything that we do. Thank you.
Barry, you are a hard man to shut up. Barry, going out into the foyer. If you don't, you'll get stopped and you won't get to see anybody. Thank you so much for what you've done. This man is extraordinary. And you think you know that, but you don't know that. I know him well. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for Barry and for Melanie and for the lives they have given to Indonesia. Thank you for the new school. Bless those students. Bless your work. Bless your great commission. Through Christ we pray. Amen. See you at 1:00.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.